As we begin this podcast episode, I want to point out that my audio quality isn't what it usually is. I don't think my mic was connected the whole time. In any case, enjoy the episode. It has a lot of fruits and gems to offer, and I hope that you feel something when you listen. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Wellspring Words, the podcast. This is your host, Inkem, and welcome to this podcast once again. If you are a returning listener, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, please know that this podcast is one about wellness, spirituality, writing, and creative expression. And I'm kind of just adding on these elements as I see how they fit in my own life. So this one of creative expression, we've been talking about this subject, or allowing this subject to be in the air as we have our conversations throughout this season, in a way that just allows it to be part of the conversation, because we don't usually talk about creative expression in the kind of mainstream way that we talk about other things like writing, for instance, which is fine. So now we can change the narrative. And yeah, it continues with this conversation. We have another guest on the podcast named Urmi, and she is going to introduce herself in a second and just give her rundown about who she is. And then we will dive into the authentic flavor of this podcast. So welcome, Urmi.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good too. Thank you.
Who are you? Tell us who you want us to know you as at this very moment, which might change by the end of the podcast.
I can give you a huge list about who I am, but I will start off by telling you one sentence that I would say describes me the most, which is be the change you want to see in the world. And that's pretty much who I would like to see. That's how I like to see myself. That's a quotation of Gandhi, and basically that translates to a lot of the things that I've been doing in my life. Besides working full time, I do a lot of things related to public speaking. I am a self-published author. I tutor people in English and in Italian. I'm a blogger, YouTuber. And basically everything that I do, it's because I want to bring change and make an impact and inspire other people to also follow my same path. So that's pretty much, I would say, in a nutshell, who I am.
Yeah, cool. This conversation, we're going to be speaking about entrepreneurship for the first time on this podcast, I think. But also through the lens of being a creator or embodied creativity. Because when we first spoke outside of recording this podcast, you were mentioning all of these things that you were doing, and this essence of entrepreneurship kept coming up. You even mentioned that there was another podcast that you were a guest on where it was about entrepreneurship, and you are not necessarily an entrepreneur, but you were still on that podcast. So it's still within the same realm. So it kind of got me thinking about this feeling of being a creator, or someone who is connected to and leading a lot of different aspects of their life, or with this kind of intention, and how that is an entrepreneurial spirit that we can all cultivate, whether or not we own businesses or this and that, you know, like it can be something that is accessible for us just in how we engage with the world. So yeah, like, what is your definition of entrepreneurship, and how do you see yourself in that definition right now?
So that's a very good question, and I'm going to go back a little bit in time, because mm-hmm. I didn't know what entrepreneurship really meant until I took a class when I was doing my undergraduate. And we took this entrepreneurship class where we had to basically help a business that was failing, and we had to see like what are some creative ways of like make sure that this business was successful. Mm-hmm. And one thing that came out of this was that I loved the class, but I was like, I don't think I ever want to have my own thing. And I was like, this is too much work. That was the thing that I got out of this class. And then what happened is, of course, started to work in the corporate job, and I have always worked in the corporate world. But I would say that since we got into the pandemic, my ideas on entrepreneurship has changed. And I would say that I became a lot more creative during pandemic because I was like, I want to do something where I could give back but and help other people. And so this is when I started to have my own blog. This is when I started to have my own YouTube channel. This is when I was like, I need to think about innovative ways of like me seeing be able to be out there and help out others. And then what I was doing was like looking for virtual volunteering opportunities where I could give back. And then I was like, I have to think about making more income streams. And so that's how I started to like tutor. And then also I also self-published my first book. And I remember two of my friends, they looked at me, and this was when I was also looking for to change job. They looked at me and they were like, you know what? You have a role of an entrepreneur. And I was like, how? Like, why? And they're like, yeah, because you are so like proactive. You have this initiative spirit in you that you're not aware of. And they're like, you get things done. Like you don't wait for someone and you don't. And I don't think you like to wait for someone to do things. And I said, that's exactly how I am. Like, I also like I personally don't like to wait to depend on other people. And I think because I worked a lot in the financial services industry, I worked a lot with like different people, different managers and different teams. And in a way I was almost fed up because I always wanted to input my own ideas. I always wanted my own things to get forward. And because I would say that I was not able to get that in my professional life, I would like switch it and get it in my personal life.
Yeah.
And so there isn't a separation, if I have to tell you to, like, there's my professional life right now and there's my personal life. But if you look at my personal life, there is so much about me out there because I have built that sort of thing, which is sort of like, I feel like entrepreneurship or like also personal branding, it's your insurance in a way, because even when you like leave a job and you're looking for something, you still have your personal, like if people are Googling you, they know who you are. So I think it gives you a little bit of an edge. And right now, luckily, like I work for like an advisor where I'm able to put that entrepreneurship or entrepreneurial spirit into actions. Like he's open to ideas. He's open to like, know how can I make his business better? And I like that fact because like, yes, I work with him and it's his business, but I can also help him in like inputting my ideas like about marketing, can we get more clients? And I like that because now I feel like I'm able to shift that also in my professional life. And so for me, I would say like entrepreneurship, it just means being able to be creative and innovative and coming up with different ideas to make things better. That's how I like to see it.
That feels like accessible feels like the word here, like an accessible way to engage with entrepreneurship, because I know at first glance it's like, oh hell no, it is too much work to come up with something and then you gotta do all the processing and the paperwork and keeping track of things and being the head of it and just like having that full-on responsibility. It is a huge commitment and it's like having a child in some way. But if you're able to expand horizon and see where in your life you're already, or you already want to share something from your own creative spirit with the world, that is part of the entrepreneurship journey. Because what I was gleaning from what you were mentioning is like this inherent desire or need to give something to community, to have something to give, you know, you can't give what you don't have. And so in this creating a book and tutoring and, you know, speaking on different things and offering your service and spaces, it's like, you know, inherently I have something that I want to share. So it's kind of like, how do we tap into even more? Because we're already doing that, but how do we tap into what we know that we have to share in a way that feels like, okay, I'm ready to put it out into the world and share it with others and like stand for it. You know, that's another part of it, standing for it.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so I learned a lot about me in the past years because I worked with so many people and I had like my main goal at the end of my like career path was like, oh, I'm going to become a manager, manage people. But with time, I realized that, you know what, I think I just like to like be solo. Like I just want to be my own. I don't want people to like deal with me. I don't want to deal with other people. I just want people to like let me be me and allow me to share my ideas. That's one thing that I learned. And I think also I listen to many, many podcasts. A lot of them also are about female entrepreneurship, like running their own business and quitting their job. And one of the podcasts actually said that you get your biggest growth when you are an entrepreneur or when you're able to put yourself out there with ideas. And I
it's the
like
most
that.
Potential for sure.
Yes. And this is also the thing that I learned about me was that I had untapped potentials within me that I was not aware of. Like, if you asked me this question a couple of years ago, I would have never told you, oh yeah, I want to have my own blog. I want to have my own YouTube channel. Like, this was like out of question. Forget it. Like, forget it, me being out there. But now I can see how much it has helped me to gain confidence and being able to build connections, meet new people, you know, have a personal branding. And this is why I think oftentimes people think I'm a coach or think that, you know, are you running a business? Because that's what it looks like to us. But I think like with time, I was able to realize that there was so much within me that I was not aware of. Like I like the fact that I'm able to do so many things, and I was able to develop also many skills such as time management skills and organizational skills, being able to be a leader for myself. Like that was something that I have learned, especially because I put myself out there and I try to do things just following what I felt was right for me and just following my passions, basically.
Yeah, there's so many parts in there that I want to ask more about. One of them is about this transition from, oh, that's completely out of the question. Out, you'll catch me dead with a blog and a YouTube channel. To here I am with my blog and my YouTube channel. What did something happen in that period of transition? It must have been a couple, it's not day to night or night to day. So what was that transition about? What really like a struck a chord for you.
And you know what? It was so I had a conversation initially with my sister. She kept saying, like, oh, I want to have a blog. And honestly, I was like, I don't know what is a blog. I just kept thinking about that when she said that. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then she was like, yeah, it's a website and then you can post stuff. And that's what sparked my curiosity. So I was like, let me look into it. Okay. So I was like, okay, let me just look into it for myself. And so I started to Google how to have a blog, what the blog is used for. And I remember thinking, okay, that could be my way of sharing my information and wisdom to other people. So the first conversation that I had with my sister just created this spark. And so I went on with creating my blog, but I can tell it was very, very uncomfortable initially for me because it was my first time putting myself out there. And I also spoke with another person who basically she runs her own nonprofit organization. And she told me that, look, if you want people to connect with you and if you want people to know who you are, you have to have a picture of yourself and you need to tell a story. And that it took really a couple of months to be really comfortable with sharing my story, like telling people who I am, because I was like, I'm not ready for this. I think people would judge me. That there was so much fear that people would judge me. And then it took like a couple of time to fix the website. Like, it was so much work because it's so much work to run a website because you need to know how to do it. And I remember watching a bunch of YouTube videos to understand, and then finally I understood. Like, I also looked at other people's website and I understood what it meant.
It's a learning process, all of
It's
it,
a
yeah.
it's exactly it's a learning process. And then I remember that I had this friend. So basically what happened is there was this girl who I know. She runs her own company. She used to work in finance, and then she basically founded her own company, and she got invited to this YouTube channel. And she was telling about her experience about working in these big firms. And I remember watching and thinking, I would also like to be interviewed for one of these things where I share my own experience. So I reached out to this person on YouTube and I said, look, I would like to do an interview where basically you ask me about my own experience working in finance. And that was my very first video where I was invited into this channel. And I remember being I remember being super nervous. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. But then, I was like, you know what, I can do it. And the video was published. And after that, I was like, you know what, it wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad as I thought. And I realized how much I actually enjoy being in front of a camera and not just, and now this time, not just using like written version of expressing myself, but using like my video or using my voice to share my message. So that was something that, like, again, it was, I just followed my intuition. I just followed my curiosity and I went with it. And since then, I was like, you know what? I think I'm very much comfortable of having my own YouTube channel. It allows me to work on my public speaking skills. And I remember, like, my first videos would get watched by people that I work with, and it was a worry. Like, I was worried that, oh my gosh, like, watch out, they're gonna say something. But you know what? It was a great experience because I would get very positive feedback, and people were like, yeah, it's great whatever you shared. I think, like, it's good for people that want to work in the industry and so forth. And so it was just basically those few moments that happened that was like, you know what, it just means a good thing, because I was getting positive reinforcement basically. So I just went with it. So it was just, I just followed my intuition, my curiosity. And so I feel like my curiosity always brings something good out of the things that I want to try.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that and for expressing that. It's not night to day. It does take time. And
No.
in the process of the time, you feel nervous, you question it. There's doubt, there's interest, there's doubt, there's interest, there's doubt. There's like both sides of it, and you're dancing along in between. And then opportunities come. And at every moment, we have a choice. Are we going to accept an opportunity to do something or initiate something, or are we going to leave the thing as a what if? And not everything necessarily needs to be explored. Sometimes we just don't have the capacity for that. And that's also a blessing to know when we have the capacity for something and when we don't. And when we want to do something and it's coming from our hearts, and we want to do something that's coming from society telling us that we should do that. You know, like all of that stuff is about understanding yourself internally. And when we're in the space of understanding ourselves internally, then it's much easier to follow the passion and what's really pulling us. When you were speaking, it really got me visualizing my own entrepreneurship journey and how I arrived here with Wellspring Words, this platform, this writing studio, this digital anthology as a business. Because when I first started this platform in 2020, it was just a project. I was working full time, and I created what I needed. So I needed a space to share my thoughts authentically, fully, a space that felt safe. And I didn't know what that would look like. So like that was subconscious, and consciously I made this digital anthology, which is Wellspring Words, where women of color from around the world can come and share their storytelling, share their life experiences, share their poetic writing, their written expression, and just have that freedom. But in the safe space, because the digital anthology is only for women of color. So there's no need to express, I'm a woman of color and these are my struggles and that whole rhetoric. But you know that you're in a safe space here. And anytime you connect with another woman on this platform, then you know that you can kind of see, be in solidarity in that aspect. Whereas other parts of the platform are for everyone to engage. But that came out of like, there's a subconscious thing. There's always a journey that's happening that we, when we're tuned into our natural ambition or our passion or our calling, we just find ourselves on the journey. Because I remember, because you were talking about blogging, and I remember the first blog that I had, it was when I studied abroad back in 2014 in Hong Kong. And it was like a travel blog. It was like, this is what I, not every day, because you know, WordPress was working slowly at the time. So I was like, you know what, whenever I can. But uploading pictures, my experiences, pictures of my friends, whatever, you know, this is what was happening. Shared it with Facebook, shared it with the people who seemed to be interested. And then when I moved to Korea in 2017, I had another blog that was in that same aspect, but I was like, let me add more, because I wasn't just doing a study abroad experience. I actually had moved overseas. So I was like, let me do a little bit more. And I added, yeah, just like some more inner reflections, that kind of thing. But towards the end of my experience with that blog, because by the time I moved to Abu Dhabi in 2018, I was like, okay, let me just pivot and focus on my academic career instead of this blog, you know, like, because I don't, this is fun and everything, but I didn't think about it as any type of anything. But I was gaining a following on that blog. I just didn't see it that way because my site was focused on my career as opposed to what could potentially be with this blog. But at the end of my experience with that blog, I had started a series called Nubian Narratives where I would invite different Black people from wherever, whoever I would connect with, and ask them a series of questions about something and then have them share their responses on that section of my website. Fast forward to Wellspring Words, which is in essence the same kind of thing, inviting women of color from around the world to come and share their experiences without my questions or anything like that. But it's that same function, just kind of shifted to a different platform and in a different time in life with a different essence, with a similar intention. So it's interesting how things work out in that way. And if we have the benefit of age or time, we can see some of the patterns in our lives that are already kind of putting us into an aligned direction where our eyesight may be focused on my career, my boyfriend, my house, my this, my that. Fine, cool. But if we just kind of step back a little bit and see what are the things that we find ourselves always doing? Like, what do we find ourselves always creating? Me, I'm always crocheting stuff. There might be something there. I just could start a crocheting business because I've always, but that's something that I just like to do on the side. And it's beautiful when we look at it like that because then we're able to see where do we have a natural aptitude and energetic source, energetic capacity to fuel us in a certain direction where we don't have to be thinking with our head all the time, how do I gain success? The success is already there because we're already doing it naturally, like you were talking about with your curiosity. So yeah, I thought that was very interesting, the parallels between blogging and like curiosity and finding the way through passion.
I'm gonna share something with you. There is a so this is like my wallpaper. Like it's a quotation that I have on my wallpaper that says, "The cave we fear to enter holds the treasure we seek."
Yeah.
And basically, that has been life changing for me because I feel like as human beings, we're always afraid of trying new things out because there's so much uncertainty and there's so much self-doubt where like, well, I'm not really sure if I'm capable of doing these things. But I think if you really follow that intuition, that curiosity, and you follow the fear, I think you just discover so much more about yourself and how much you can actually achieve. And like you said, like even connected to like how like life brings you to that path, it's actually like I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I think things like come in time, and it's not supposed to be like perfect. It's a trial and error, but I think it's about you trying to explore yourself, and that's why I like to see that every time I'm scared of something, what does it mean? Like, why am I afraid of this? Is it like it is supposed to be triggering something? Is it supposed to be is it signaling something? Is it supposed to be sending me a message? So I remember, like, even for me myself, every time I'm scared of trying something new, even when I'm like scared of going inside this cave, I tell myself, okay, maybe it's something good. I should just go through that cave and see what's there, like what's out there. Maybe there is a treasure, And even if there is no treasure, it's a lesson that you learn and you can try new things. And so for me, it has been like that so far. Everything that I have tried, like for me, my very first project in life was public speaking. And I remember being super, super, super scared. I was like, I'm never doing this. But then I told myself, I want to give a TED talk. So if I want to give a TED talk, I have better work on my public speaking skills. And so it was scary. I'm not saying it was like smooth or something. I still haven't delivered my TED talk, but it gave me so much more confidence. Like I actually enjoy going to Toastmasters Club and practice public speaking, and I think it allowed me to also enhance my leadership skills and my public speaking skills. And I also like that because I feel like we don't have like we need to have more women like doing public speaking skills, it's just an extra thing that adds credibility. You are able to speak up for yourself, but you're also able to speak up for other women as well. So for me, I feel like it was just a lot of self-exploration. I think just everything was just tied, it went with public speaking. And then I was so comfortable to speaking enough that I went to a YouTube channel and then I created my own YouTube channel. And then From there, I was able to get invited to like speak at events for like different organizations. So it was all like tied together in a circle, I would say. And because it just started from one thing where I was scared, but I did not let fear hold me back, basically.
Yeah, this is there a lot of different thoughts have been coming into my mind, especially okay, let's start with the fear thing, because the fear thing is huge. It's a huge thing. Fear, as I have been experiencing it with this newer understanding of how energy moves and how energy works, fear is like a self. Fear can be felt as a certain self. When we are in the fear self, we experience and we say the same things. We talk about the same things with the same people in that fear mindset kind of way. We use a lot of can't. There's a lot of judgment. We use a lot of should. We police and criticize ourselves. We nitpick. We don't see the beauty in anything. We only see the wrong. And it's a self. Like we can feel when that version of ourself is in play because we know what we're saying and we know how we're looking at things. And but to be able to move and pivot to the self of expansion and empowerment and love, that's a really, really beautiful thing. This aspect of the cave that holds the darkness. What is it? The cave that holds the darkness is the treasures of the darkness. The treasures of the darkness.
The cave you fear to enter seek the no holds the treasure you seek.
Yeah. I'm gonna call that the treasures of the darkness because that feels apt, right, at this moment. And usually on this podcast, once in a while, actually, I bring in astrology talk. So for those who are resonant with astrology and know their charts front to back and back to front and up and down and through all that dimensions, if you see where your Chiron is placed, it gives you a good sense of the kind of things that you fear or the kind of things that you spend a lot of time thinking about, a lot of time doing, working around, concerned with, but maybe are fearful about. You know, it holds a place of fear in your heart. It's kind of tenuous, it's fragile, it's tender. And also where your moon is located, because the moon rules over the darkness and fear and illusions and things that we can't necessarily see. Also, this kind of tenuous, watery nature. It rules a lot of other things too, but these two places, there could be some good places to get some understanding of, like, okay, how do I look at my life differently? Because what we're talking about here, yes, it's about entrepreneurship, but it's not necessarily about the surface level of what can I create that is my own to make money off of and be an entrepreneur. That arrives in whatever way it arrives at some point. But before that, we need to understand what is life already leading me to create and to share? What is my special gift? What is it that I already do a lot or do well or am very practiced in that I could share? Also, as you said, what is it that I really fear that if I could possibly go into that area, it could be really abundant for me in many ways? Like public speaking is turning into something very abundant for you in terms of how you connect with others, all the things that you expressed, what you're creating, how you're sharing your voice with the world. And it also allows you to see what other opportunities might be available for you when you open into the treasures of the darkness or what's there that you're kind of scared of. And then there is another aspect here when you mentioned that we need to see more women in public speaking. For sure, there's this thing about women needing to speak about different things, for sure, for sure, for sure. But I'm always seeing the under layer of this stuff, and it's about silencing. It's about women being silenced because of our inherent power. We're powerful. Like we're just powerful, and people know it. People know that once this person, this woman over there, sees her beauty, sees her power, sees her worth, sees her aptitude, sees her capacity, sees her compassion, and sees the fire in her spirit, her ability to give life into this world, to nurture it, to kill it, and to bring more life into this world, she's unstoppable. So of course they silence us. Of course, through generations, this is nothing new. So yeah, I definitely resonate with and emphasize that idea that more women need to be in public speaking, but from this place of know that what you have to say is not only valuable and all of that, it is crucial. The world cannot live in any type of harmony without the expressions of women. There's no way. That's why we're in destruction, right? So yeah, a lot of different thoughts there. Got me riled up a little bit. Not gonna lie, I'm energized now.
Yeah, I do like what you said, that the last statement that, you know, we are unstoppable, but it's also what you said, that we do get silence, you know, in a lot of the ways, in a lot of like situations. Like, we have seen it a lot with the Me Too movement that happened, how many women got silenced. I do see it a lot in my parents' home country in Bangladesh, how little girls or women are not given the chance to speak up, or you just have to do whatever we tell you to do.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Exactly. It's literally like everywhere. And like, I watched this speech a couple of years ago of Meghan Markle at the United Nations, and she said we have to, like, this is what she said. She's like, we have to give a voice to the voiceless. And I just couldn't agree more with what she was saying. And unfortunately, like, we live in a world which is like the men's world, unfortunately. I do see it a lot. I do have discussion with my coworkers, like, everything that we do, unfortunately, the men are ruling and women are not giving in a space. And so it's up to
and
us.
See how
to
it
create,
turns out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's up to us to create this space and to create our own voice, to create a seat at the table, like many women speakers say.
Yeah, no, it's true. And there's also this idea of not necessarily even needing to create a seat at the table that's never designed for us. They have those really uncomfortable chairs. Like, look, I have cushion. I need cushion. I got cushion on my body. I need cushion underneath my body. So why don't we just create our own picnic garden where we can lay and, you know, do our own thing. Like, this is not a thing to say women don't need men. That's absolutely not it. But a lot of the rhetoric around women speaking up or being taken seriously revolves around men. It always revolves around men. It never revolves around women, around us, our natural power, our natural strength. It is always still around the conversation of men's natural strength. Actually, one of our clients for our writing and expression and creative expression coaching, she's writing about bravery and how she's seeing bravery in these two different aspects, the way that men are considered brave and the way that women are considered brave. And they don't have the same attributes, because when women are considered brave, it's like, oh, she wasn't just a docile creature. She actually stood up and did something. Oh, we could do way more than do something. Trust and believe. You know what I mean? Like, you are here because you came through the vaginal canal of a woman. Okay? So don't come and try to play me like I need to. My heart, let me just calm down, because my heart is talking to me. It's like, Kem, come off of the soapbox. It's okay. Everybody will be fine. Everybody will be fine. But that just like shows the power that I know that we have as women. And it's if we can see ourselves more in the public eye, in the spotlight, as we are, right? Not these Barbie-like, doll-like, unrealistic looking versions of ourselves that have nothing to do with who we naturally are. If we can see ourselves naturally, authentically, more diversely, more of us, then we're all the better. Because I think what happens with women, the magic of women, is that we have magic. We don't need to perform in order to display or show or express our magic and the feminine essence that works without us having to try. We don't have to perform. You know, so the more of us that are doing what we do, the more of you that are public speaking and giving your talks and sharing your insights with people, that I think feminine, magical, creative essence is already with you. It's already with me. It's already with all the people that we touch. So just like more empowerment, I think, helps that become stronger.
Yeah. And this is why it's important to be part of a community, which is what you are doing. Because I feel like when you're part of a community, especially with a lot of women, they automatically feel very much empowered, I would say. Like,
yes, absolutely. I'm getting tingles. It's true. Yes.
Right? And also, like, because for instance, I go to this gym, which is, it's for men and women, but the classes are mainly like all the women participate. There is a majority of women participating in these classes. But I remember going into this class and already feeling empowered because there were so many women out there like wanting to work out. But I felt automatically very much empowered, I would say. I used to join these calls with like female entrepreneurs, and I remember feeling like the strength, the boldness in this virtual room, and I was like, this is amazing, honestly. And it goes back to what you said before, right? Because we all have something to give back. Yes, we're trying to create a seed, and it goes back to entrepreneurship, right? Like we are trying to create something and to give back. And this is why I also feel like there are many female entrepreneurs because they wanna be able to like create something and deliver their own baby and run their business from there. And I love this whole thing that, there are now, I feel like there are more and more communities, especially like female entrepreneurs and stuff like that, where women have an opportunity to create something and they're not alone in this journey. They have other women along with them who are pursuing the same thing.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Thanks for calling that out. The community aspect is so important. I mean, we realize quickly once we enter on in this journey of entrepreneurship, which is quite a solo thing, that we can't do it alone, and we shouldn't, and we don't need to, because if we're whatever we are putting out into the world, there is going to be an interaction with other people for sure. But it doesn't have to feel transactional, like especially if you're looking at it from a more feminine perspective. It doesn't have to feel transactional. Oh, trust me, you could be making transactions left, right, up and down. That's great. And we love it for you, and we love it for ourselves. But it doesn't have to feel transactional. And that brings in this, bless you, that brings in this this feeling of calm and of trust that we often haven't felt or don't feel when we are working under other kinds of situations that just don't value us. And I do think value is a big part, like self-value is a big part of the entrepreneurship journey or the creative journey or the creator's journey. When you're ready to share what you have in your heart and your spirit out into the world in some manifestation, there is an understanding that this has value. This thing here has so much value that I can no longer keep it as an idea. It's so heavy with value that I need to bring it outside of my head and into the world. That's another way of thinking about it. And value doesn't need to be assigned with dollar signs or with numbers or
No.
zeros at all. It can just have a different kind of essence, a different kind of feeling. But that helps us to move into the world with more groundedness and authentic stability, I feel.
Yeah, and this is why, a lot of the things that I do in my personal life, like I do a lot of volunteering work where no one is paying me for doing these things, but it's like something that I value a lot. Like I remember people at work asking me, oh, do you like, don't you have time? Is it like, no. They said something like, oh, are you volunteering because you have so much time available to yourself? I was like, no, I volunteer because I enjoy it. I enjoy like giving back. I enjoy being with other people. And this is something that like this, there are some causes that I support, which is what I stand for. So it's not because I have so much time in my hand that I'm doing this. I could be doing other things as well. And I think that, values are so important because sometimes I feel like you find much more fulfillment in doing things where no one is paying you. Because I feel like sometimes when there is that monetary aspect, you just do it for the sake of like being paid and you're not being true to yourself and also to the person that you're serving. Because all you're thinking about is like, okay, let's try to see if I'm able to sell this. But I think that if your value is like, let's say, honesty, I think you just come a little bit more true, honest, authentic, and I think people will like you more and they will be able to connect with you a bit more and resonate with you a lot more. And so this is why like a lot of the things that I do, like I volunteer for different organizations, again, all about women's empowerment, women in leadership. But you know what? These are causes that I fight for, and I feel like if really I can make a change just by like putting my time, which is valuable enough, why not? And I can see the changes happening because I can see that, we have more people connecting with us. We see more people like attending the events that were organized for this woman. And so it doesn't always have to be about money. It's also like Like it's like you said, non-monetary, and
Value.
it's non-monetary value exactly. So
Yeah, exactly. Which can easily lead to financial value if we want it to, if we allow for that pipeline to exist. I mean, there's so many different conversations within this conversation, but I think one that is important to discuss as female creative people, entrepreneurs, people who are taking, deciding to look at life in a way that suits us, that
Yes.
can support us in our natural habitat, right? Like our natural, we're out here in the jungle. We're in our natural habitat. So how can life support me in my natural habitat as well? How can it provide me with a way to support myself financially, right? And these are sometimes the conversations that, again, women, not every, because we know that there are women who speak specifically about money, and that's beautiful. But if we take the whole lot of us women around the world, it's another aspect we're silenced on when it comes to money, that we shouldn't value money. We should value other types of things. But maybe we don't have to look at it in terms of valuing money, as you said. Like maybe we can have the value for other parts of the experience, but that financial exchange or that monetary exchange is still part of the equation. It's just not the highest focus. Because when you make it the highest focus, then it's going to be the highest focus and it's going to cause an influence all the way around. But if the highest focus is on the connections that you make with the members, the participants, or whatever, it changes the game. But it really does come down to a change in our perspective.
Yeah. And there is this book that I read, and I don't know if you know the concept of Ikigai.
Sounds familiar. I see it in my mind. It's a
So
book. It's a book,
it's
yeah.
there is a book, and there is this, like, they explain this concept. It's a diagram where there are these few aspects that are interconnected with each other, and that's how you live your life with purpose. And they say, like, you should be doing where something you're good at. Using this, something that you're passionate about, use that to serve a community and then eventually to make money. And they say that you're able to find the purpose in your life when you see that all these things are interconnected to each other. And I read that book. And this is something that I would like suggest your audience to read as well, where they talk about this concept of Ikigai and living a fulfilled life, content, and a life where you're like serving a community, being happy with the things that you're doing, and also like making an income out of it. So it's all interconnected with each other. So that's what the book explains. It's a very, very good book.
Nice. Yeah, we'll add it to the show notes so if people are looking for resources, they can go directly to it and see. And with all of these conversations, with any podcast conversation, with any external resource, I feel like it's beautiful to have these resources accessible and at hand for us when we need them on the journey. And I will always emphasize that the true resource of wisdom and understanding and knowledge and knowing is within. Always. Like, we're never going to be able to understand life as truly as we can if we're not able to sense what truth feels like within us in any type of way, through the body, through our mind, through our heart's connections, through our gut connections, all of those things. So, at this point in the journey, if anybody is following from season one up until this point of season four, which is like at the end of season four, then hopefully you've been following along. Embodying, becoming a little bit deeper in the self and trusting and respecting your creative journey, which then listen to the podcasts and read the tools and the resources and all that stuff. And then it gives you vocabulary to trust yourself more rather than it being this externalized thing of, I need to read that book so that way I can know how to do this thing, because it can easily get to that point too if we're on that side of the line. So yeah, just a reminder about that because we can always use a little bit of a reminder. We get in the fear self a bit sometimes, and we just like, how do I do this? Okay, this person told me how, but then it still doesn't feel right. So
Yeah,
back to self.
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's about self-learning, self-exploration, and self-investing. And I do always say, like, we are our own greatest asset. So it's just time. You just have to take time to learn a little bit more and find who you are and get closer to your true self, basically. That's what I like to tell people all the time.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And thank you for your insights and experiences that you shared on this podcast episode. It was energizing. Definitely gave me a lot to think about. Hope it gave some gems to our listeners to think about, to ponder, to, fold into their own journeys of life, wherever they are. So thank you so much, Ermi. Do you have any final words for folks?
Actually, I have some words for you. Like, honestly, I could listen to you all day long. Like,
Oh, thank you.
it's like so soothing the way you express yourself, the vocabulary that you use, and it's so inspiring at the same time. Like, as I was listening to you, I was like, oh wow, like I love the way you're so articulate. Like it's like I'm listening to a prepared speech. I mean, this is coming from someone who's part of the Toastmaster, but it is that like it really feels like I'm listening to a prepared speech, and it's like you're so natural and spontaneous. So it was really, really fun. I just wanted to tell you
I really appreciate it. I always
that.
appreciate hearing kind and loving words. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. Just speaking
Thank
from the
you.
heart. Is there anywhere that you would like to be found or connected on the internet? Anywhere you can share your platforms or anything?
So I do have my blog. It's called myways.ca. I have a YouTube channel. It's called Urmi Hossein. I have my LinkedIn profile. It's called Urmi Hossein. I have my Instagram page, which is called Urma Mio. And my book is available on Amazon, and it's called Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Interracial Struggle.
Okay, wonderful. We didn't even get to talk about the book. Like, that
I
will have to
know.
be another conversation. But I felt like this one was, I was like, yeah, there's a book and this is a podcast about writing as well. But there's like so many different ways we can go about it. It's all good. Another time we'll have that conversation, maybe in some other aspect of this platform, which can always be a nice way to jump in again. But yeah, thank you again for being on this podcast. Thank you for
Thank you.
everyone for listening to this episode. Hope you got some gems. Hope you are walking away with a lightness in your spirit and ready to understand yourself a little bit better, understand your passions a little bit more, and share with the world something that feels really true and right to you. If you want to stay connected with us at Wellspring Words, you can do so on Instagram at Wellspring Words. You could send us an email at bewell@wellspringwords.love. You can spend some time on my profile at naturally3123 on Instagram, my website, bynkem.co. There's a lot of stuff to get into, especially on the Wellspring Words platform. So check it out. Check out the courses, check out the workshops, check out the fellowships, check out the digital anthology, the podcast episodes, everything. Just, sink into it. That's why the space is there. So, oh, yes. And we have writing groups that are happening every week if you want to come and write with us. The link will be in the description so you can come and check that out. And yeah, we'll be in community. Thanks again. Take care.